Before we get started, I want to thank our sponsor, Sonos, for supporting this podcast. Hi, everyone. Welcome to Domino's new podcast, Design Time, where we explore spaces and places with meaning. I'm your host, Jessica Romperez, Domino's editor-in-chief. Each week, join me along with creative visionaries who will share their journey to designing spaces that move you. We'll explore the emotional side of design, from the ritual of gathering to a mood-boosting paint trick to the renovation tips that will inspire your next project. Home is the best place to start exploring personal style. How do you shape your world from the inside out? Let's discover now on Design Time. Bridget Romanak came to design via an unexpected path. First designing an accessories collection and her own home, she started decorating for friends and fell in love with the process. Establishing her design firm and an approach built on graphic and modern elements, Bridget is known for her artful, soulful, and accessible perspective. Bridget is a talented plant mama, collector, and her warmth and spirit informs her craft. I spoke to Bridget about her love for all things vintage, what colors she's loving, and how to embrace the history of a place while updating it for family living. I'm so excited to share my conversation with Bridget with all of you. Hi, Bridget. So excited to connect. We only met once, which was at a breakfast at your house. One of the things I was so taken with was your solarium room and that super rich, saturated green with the plants against it. And I remember you talking about the green and the paints in your house.
Yeah.
And we were talking a lot about color and mixing different saturations. Something about mixing these tones of the same color just feels so good.
It really, really does.
So what colors are you into right now?
I'm feeling a lot of blues. I love blues. And so like royal blue, a nice light blue, a powder blue, and then a navy, and then putting them all together. I think that's really elegant. But having said that, I love dusty pinks and neutrals and, you know, the right gray or brown. I like all of it. It sounds cheesy, but I do. I love all colors for one reason or another. I love yellow right now, too.
Me too.
I painted some yellow stripes onto a client's wall, and it's my new favorite thing. So it just depends on what feels right at the given time. You can really dictate the mood of a room just starting with the walls and the color on the walls. And I like to play with color. There are certain colors that I like to use that really, when the light hits them, they just become more beautiful and create a really warm mood. There are colors that I like because they create a really great statement. It just depends on what you're trying to convey. And the solarium is one of my favorite rooms, and I call it like my Sunday morning room.
Just for people who aren't looking at it or haven't been there, what is that room like?
When we took the house, it was really interesting because when we started talking about the room, it was maybe creating walls and just making it an extension of the living room. But as we kept walking in that room, it really revealed itself to me as a place to relax. And I kept going in that room with plans for the house because the light was just right. And it was almost like the room was trying to tell me something and teach me something. So when it came about, okay, let's make these a drywall, I couldn't do it. I didn't have the heart to do it. It just became really special to me. And filling it with furniture and big things just wasn't right. And so I just let the room breathe, if that makes sense, just by a beautiful, inviting color. And I was really inspired by being in Europe and how they tend to paint spaces all the way almost to the top, but not quite, or leave them, you know, a patch of white at the bottom, you know, a foot or two. And so being in that room and looking out at the hills and the mountains, you don't feel like you're in LA. It almost feels like the Italian countryside. And so that's how I came to view that room, looking at all of this greenery and feeling really quite cozy and special. And the room just needed to breathe. And so when I think of breathing and oxygen, I think of plants. And so that's really what that room became, just organically. It wasn't the first idea or plan, but really it's become such a special place. And I use that room to decompress and to think of new things and to create and take my books in there. It's a really special, special place. And it was so simple to do.
I mean, I love that idea of thinking about, okay, how does this room make me feel? Or what is the energy I want in this space? Thinking about the mood and how you want to enjoy a space.
It's not lost on me at all that that is quite a luxury to be able to say, how do I want to use this room? But I believe that any room, you know, if you have a space that is a studio, if you have a space that's 10,000 square feet, it all should feel like it's right for you, no matter what it is that you're doing. And I know 100% that, you know, making sense takes the precedence, like the couch should logically be there. But I believe when it's your space, your private personal space, which I say all the time, is your love letter to yourself or your diary to yourself, you can do what you want to do. So I really design from a place of feeling. When I come in from my day, how do I want to feel when I close my door? And so for me, that was livable luxe is what I call it. And whether it's an item that's $5 or, you know, $500 or whatever the case may be, that it all translates into that feeling for me of being very cozy, relaxed, and peaceful in a place where I could sit with my family or my friends for hours on end. And so that's what pushed my design forward, is how I want it to feel.
I love that. I think that's a really just important question for people to remember, to ask themselves, how do you want to feel in that space? What do you want to feel, you know, when you're home at the end of the day or when you're lying down at night? I just had a really interesting conversation with someone about bathrooms, and they said this client needed the bathroom to feel colorful and bright and energized, which I thought was so interesting. And it's like, follow the energy, follow the mood you're trying to create, and let the design go from there.
Absolutely. I really believe that, because I hate when projects end, to be honest. You know, you've been with someone and having this great relationship, but you know, just thinking about it, I am going to leave. And when I leave and I shut the door, I want you to turn around and be happy in your space. And, you know, the idea that it's all about how you want to live your life, because
it's very personal.
It's very personal. I want it to be a space where you can really 100% enjoy it. And that does come from what you feel.
And the soul of a place. Yeah.
Soul, 100%. Your house should feel soulful. Mm-hmm. It should feel yours.
Absolutely.
You know, you've gone through the effort of finding this place, and it has some value to you in so many ways. Be happy there. And if I can help you do that, then I've done my job correctly.
Now, you live in a house that has some history, and I love the notion of how do you honor either the history of a place or the history of your family within a home. We are very much about personal style and personal narrative, and really how that's reflected in your space. How do you kind of encourage your friends or your clients to kind of have your space tell their story?
When we acquired our house, when I first walked in, it was really quite overwhelming because I hadn't seen the inside of the house when we were going to get it. It was one of those things where the house hadn't been touched in probably 30 or 40 years. And so you look at that, and that's incredible in one way and then very scary in another way, because the way we live now is very different. When I walked in, I knew there were going to be some things that, you know, maybe I want to work on, I want to change. But when I did walk in, I immediately felt I was in a special place. I knew immediately when I walked in, this place had soul and this place had heart, and there had been, you know, lives lived in this house. There had been music recorded in the house. And I was interviewing different architects, and there were a couple of architects that came in and said things to me like, you know, we're going to tear this down and we're going to rebuild this and we're going to knock this out. And my heart, I was like, no. You know, it just was, that was very, very hard to hear. And it wasn't their fault. They were just coming in with their proposal, what they thought was, you know, best for this house. And I just heard that a few times. And honestly, I couldn't sleep because I kept thinking, well, that doesn't feel quite right. I don't know. Do I do that? Do I not do that? And so there was another architect that came in. And when we sat down to talk about the house, we both had this love for what was existing, and we wanted to improve things because I have two children and I wanted things to function and be safe. But as we walked around the house, he was delighted, as I was, with all of these quirky things. And that night, it was so easy for me to choose him because he felt the same as I did, where we wanted to enhance the house. We wanted to elevate it in many ways, but the house had so much soul, and to strip that away would have been just terrible. It would have been a crime. This is what I love about the house, and it is so funky and so crazy, and it's this magical beast. And what I want to do is make the beast feel better. I don't want to kill the beast. So that's what we did. We had so much fun. We highlighted things that were insane and crazy, and we minimized things that could possibly be dangerous for my children.
Tip number one.
Exactly.
Eliminate the danger.
The danger, right? So you can relax in your house. But as an example, there was an old elevator, and I immediately thought, there's no way my children are having an elevator in their home. That's not going to happen. They're going to walk up the stairs. And so we turned that elevator into a fantastic powder room. So,
amazing.
Yeah. So, you know, you do things like that. When the house was originally built, kitchens were not in any way a big deal. This house was huge, but had a galley kitchen. And so what we did was we made the kitchen much, much bigger, and we took over another room. So we did things that serviced us the way we live today. But some of the quirky bits, just in terms of aesthetics, we kept, and we owned it. And I love them. I couldn't imagine having ruined what took so long to patina, if you will, you know, gain its character.
It's almost a restoration is what you did, and a revival of that space. One of the things I loved about your house too was just how casual and lovely it was to be in your kitchen, which felt really like a gathering space. It really feels like a room with real furniture. Like, it feels like an extension of the rest of the house.
Building that kitchen was really a labor of love. And the way that I thought about it was, my kids are probably going to use this door when they come in, so I need to create a path. And there should be a path that goes around the kitchen because I know how they'll come in with their friends. And so that informed the layout. It's definitely unusual. Like, our refrigerator is in the pantry. And that, for me, was something I really wanted to do because I didn't necessarily want all the kids having to go there. So there's a drink fridge in the front and there's a snacks fridge in the front so they could access what they want, what they need. But then the main refrigerator was in the back. And it was funny, when we were creating that space, they were kind of telling me, are you sure you want to do that? It's a little bit of a pain. And it's turned out to be great. Absolutely fantastic. So I took an unusual approach on some things, but I don't regret it one bit. And I think that speaks so much to how I love to work.
No, I love that. We just launched a whole renovation channel. It's all about inspiration for renovating and actually breaking those rules, you know, really empowering people to be creative when they're thinking about renovation, because it should be just as personal as the decoration process.
Absolutely.
These rules of, okay, I don't know this world of renovating. We want to really almost create a new language around renovation so that people can push the boundaries and really have fun with that process, because this is a huge expense, whatever your budget might be, mm-hmm. and to really have fun with it and personalize it.
I have this conversation with clients all the time, because if you're thinking about things in terms of, I'm going to be here maybe, you know, the next 10, 15 years, then really do things that work for you. I have yet to see, when I walk through homes with my clients that they're thinking of buying, there's always something you're going to want to change. I don't care if the house was, you know, again, $5 or, you know, $100,000. It doesn't matter. There's always something that you're going to want to change in the house. When it comes to your own house, make it yours. Every client I've had thus far is really creating their home.
Yeah, don't get so hung up on, oh, I have to resell it, or this is something that, you know, is safe for that reason. Now my entire family is obsessed with the Sonos Move, thanks to its quick setup and easy connectivity. My husband and I can control it via the Sonos app and Apple AirPlay 2, while my kids can shout their favorite music, and they do, at Amazon Alexa or Google Assistant voice control on Wi-Fi. Right now we have Design Time on repeat, of course, but if you're looking for something new to listen to, the Move works with all the streaming platforms, plus you can discover thousands of stations, including live radio from all around the world and original programming for free on Sonos Radio. While I'm not connecting Move to other Sonos speakers in my home to create the ultimate sound system, I'm switching it to Bluetooth to enjoy a richer sound for video calls for my phone or computer. It makes me feel like I'm right back in the office with Team Domino. Go to Sonos.com to learn more.
I think you use vintage in a really special way. I think you... there's something about your design where you really do give pieces space to breathe. So if there is a special chaise or table or object, you let things have their pride of place in a very cool way. Can you talk a little bit about that, and also just shopping for vintage and what that's like for you and with your clients?
I love my job so much, and I'm super, super passionate about it and super grateful that I get to do it. And the days that I get to shop are the most fun, because yeah. What's interesting about interior design is I think sometimes there's this idea that it's just getting to just shop for furniture, and it's so much more than that. It's so much math involved, and so different parts of it that are necessary to create the beautiful house. And so the days that I actually get to go out and go do the shopping is so much fun. And the world is an incredible place because someone's creativity created this piece. You know, I really view things very individually, and what's the story behind it. And obviously everything in the room needs to be harmonious, but it can often start with one piece that you find, mm-hmm. and it grows from there. And my design brief in my head is always, it's always putting all of these different ingredients in a pot and then hopefully coming out with the best meal you've ever had.
Yeah.
But it oftentimes stems from finding that one piece, and you know, your eye scans and scans and scans, and then you lock on something and you just kind of say, that's it. And usually for me, if I look at my interiors, the through line is I really like, eclecticism is everything. I value that the most, but I'll lock in on pieces that create a statement that are really strong. I like every piece to be strong, harmonious with the other pieces, to be strong. And I feel when you do that, you don't necessarily need to have lots and lots and lots of things in the room, but starting with the one piece is usually how it all comes together and branches out. So that's often what you see in my interiors, are really strong pieces, and I'm just attracted to them for whatever the reason.
The pieces you select are very, you know, sculptural, as you said, like, you know, special, and they make a statement. They have a moment, and I really love that.
For me, as long as they are harmonious with other pieces in the room, then great. And that's my favorite way to design. But yes, every piece tells its own story, and the architecture is there, and the, you know, it all comes together.
I want to talk a bit about creating kid spaces that are cool and that will grow with the kids as they get older. How are you thinking about expressive, personal, fun kid spaces, either for yourself and your own family or for some of your clients?
So it really works the same way, where I hear what the parents are wanting for their kids' rooms, but then I also speak to the kids too. And creating a space that's sort of interactive, if you will, is really fun and really stimulating for the kids. And in every kid's room, I try to do some element of that that allows them to engage and love their space and think of it as their own and be happy to share it with their friends. I like in those spaces, again, to have really strong, beautiful pieces, but playful and usable. So is it a rock wall? Is it a swing in the room? Is it a sofa that we've custom made that's super comfy and cozy that they can jump on and it's fine? Is it the colors? You know, one of the things that I really love to do for kids is, especially when they're moving to a new home, and I know for my own daughter, you know, she was very, my youngest one, you know, when we were moving, you know, she was, you know, kind of uncomfortable because she was in her space and wasn't so crazy about change. And so she had done a drawing, and it was just very, very sweet. It was a drawing of the family. She left it on the kitchen table, and she had gone upstairs for the evening. And I saw that, and I immediately thought, okay, I'm turning this into a wallpaper. And what we did for her, which she has absolutely loved and been such a highlight for her, is we did turn it into a wallpaper. So when she walked into her new room, she saw her drawing, and it covered one wall. It gave her comfort. Gave her a sense of, oh, I belong here. And she was all of a sudden like, come see my room, to, you know, with her friends. And it was really, really great. It was a nice surprise for her. And I've done that in a few kids' rooms at this point. And it's always a surprise for the kids. And it's the sweetest thing. They're just sort of blown away. Look at my artwork, you know, and it's important and I matter and this feels good. And so it's great. So I do try to create rooms that are aesthetically pleasing for all of us. So meaning that it doesn't necessarily have to look so much like this is just a kid's space, and approach it intelligently, but the kids really love it and can be there for many, 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 many years.
Absolutely. I love that.
In challenging times, we lean on the things that support us, uplift us, and make us happy. In this signature franchise, Domino Editors ask our guests, quickfire style, about the 10 things that are making them happy. From the books that inspire them, to the personal items that tell their story, to the places they love to eat, travel, and feed their soul.
I do love asking these questions about what things are making you happy. Who are some of your design heroes, or who is a design hero for you?
In terms of furniture, I would say like Charlotte Perriand, Eames, Charles and Ray Eames, I think are quite spectacular. Sheila Bridges, she showed me that this could be a career, and being an African-American woman, that I just was really inspiring.
She's so amazing.
Oh gosh, Joseph Durand, there's so many.
I know, but isn't that the best? I mean, honestly, yeah. It's yeah. Like, don't pick one or don't worry about the wrong thing. I just hearing who inspires you, you know. Favorite color, which we kind of talked about, but favorite color or color pairing?
Like a rust color with a little bit of yellow in it, with a dusty pink and a cream, and then a little hint of yellow.
Mm, I love that. So inviting. Okay. Favorite material of the moment or texture?
Mohair. And it's one of those materials that can feel a little bit uncomfortable, but as they evolve with different techniques, it's such a beautiful looking and rich in terms of the colors and the saturation. Delicious, super, super yummy, and I love it, cozy.
Okay, favorite restaurant and hotel you can't wait to go back to?
The Greenwich. I miss it.
Yeah, it's so great. Okay, and restaurant?
I love sushi, so Asanabu in LA is incredible. I love Giorgio's. I love Ibaldi's. Like, these are ones that I kind of go to all the time.
City or place you can't wait to go back to?
London is my one of my favorites, because there you just trip over culture as you walk out the door.
Truly.
New York is the same.
And so history.
Yeah. I mean, it's just incredible.
Okay, favorite design object of the moment?
I really would like the Charlotte Perriand desk that she made.
So amazing. Seeing the origins of the desks and the workspaces, how she thought about that was so inspiring to me as well.
It's great when people choose to think in a unique way, and the mind is a wondrous thing. And so when I hear those stories of how something came to be, how it made its way through to fruition, it's so inspiring and it's invigorating.
And you feel connected to it, you know?
Yeah, you really do.
Favorite artist or photographer that you've seen recently or just you always go back to?
Photographer, say Malik Sedibeh is a favorite. I loved his work. He recently passed away, but the images are so inspiring and the images are so telling of a time. And you can really see the story when you look at them and the elegance of the people. So I really love Malik Sedibeh as a photographer. I am a huge fan of Modigliani, Rothko. There's so many.
Amazing. I love that. Okay. Favorite book? Can be a novel, an art book.
The Stranger.
Oh, so good. Okay, this may be hard because I know you're a plant mama. Favorite plant and or flower?
Ooh, black olive, peonies.
Amazing. What I did love in your space was just how sculptural. You're not afraid of like a giant olive tree or a large gesture plant. So
why not?
Do it.
And it makes me happy every day.
And I also think that that's such a, you know, a great way. Someone moving into a new space, even if you're moving into a studio or an office, like a large plant gesture really makes such a difference.
Yes, it breathes life into the room in more ways than one. You know, it really does.
Truly. Okay, favorite vintage source or recent discovery?
JF Chin is a favorite.
Okay, favorite way to unwind?
You are not going to believe me when I say this. You're not. But design.
Oh my goodness. You love your job. I love that.
I do. I really, really, I do. Every time I get to create something new, that's unbelievable to me. I really didn't know that this could be a career. I just loved it. And so every time I get to interpret and help somebody with their dreams and the thing that's most important to them in terms of how they'll exist in the world. So I can't believe I get to do it. So yeah, design. I will put my kids to bed and sort of like, and then start designing. I love it.
Oh, I love that. Okay. Favorite space or space you've been to or seen that is just inspiring, historical, current?
Going to Tuscany, the Italian countryside is mind-blowing for me. And the English countryside I love as well. And you see these buildings that are, you know, 100 years old or more, and they have stood the test of time, and the detail work and the hands that went into creating it. Sometimes it makes me feel like a slacker seeing incredible buildings that have been here for many, many, many years, and it only makes them more beautiful to me.
How does nature and the environment where a space is inform your work?
You cannot beat Mother Nature. There's, in terms of design, there's, you just can't beat it. So I try to embrace the environment, You know, so for instance, if I'm working on a house and it's in the hills, I recently worked on this house, and I work with a lot of color, and I love working with color. It's really fun to put unusual color combinations together. But I also work a lot with neutrals, and the view, it's above Los Angeles, and it's just spectacular. I think this house has one of the best views I've ever seen. And so it's all of this greenery everywhere, just greenery. And so I really used a neutral palette so that your eye just went completely out this window. So as you open the door, it's just a wall of glass. And so I said, okay, great. Every piece is going to be a statement piece. It's going to be beautiful. But part of the statement is that it's just pure neutral. Pure neutrals, just almost the exact same shade, all tonal. And your eye just went out the window to enjoy the view. And I work to do that because you cannot beat Mother Nature. It's just a striking gift. So sometimes with the paint colors I'll choose, you know, one should put a bunch of samples on the wall, but make sure it's a room that gets light. And so you can see how the colors play with the light at certain times of the day and the light that comes into the room. So everything is affected by nature and what's outside your door.
I do love that, because people think about the light in the room. I think we tell people to think about how the light is in the space, but also think about what's outside the window. I do love that.
Yes, absolutely. It's all part of it. And if I can create, you know, right now, outdoor is the new indoor. So if you're lucky enough to have a space like that, you know, you incorporating it is just really, really great and helpful right now to be able to see that and enjoy that greenery. So I do, and living in Los Angeles as I do, you know, most of my projects have been there thus far. And so extending the house is always, you know, to embrace the outside has always been part of my job. And so it's just natural for me anywhere I go to look at that.
I love that. Well, Bridget, thank you so much. I'm so glad we were able to finally connect.
Me too.
West Coast style. Design Time is produced by Team Domino, with special thanks to Alex Redgrave, Linda Denahan, Liz Mundell, Britt Ashcraft, and Ali Alquiza. Our theme music is by the talented Alex Weinstein. If you like this episode, please subscribe and leave us a review on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen.